Hey.
Hello, everybody. It's Larry Goins. How are you doing?
Good, Larry. How are you?
Good. How is everybody tonight?
Very good.
Okay.
Awesome, awesome. Anybody want to say your name and where you're from?
Joyce,
I'm Norm from California.
Jeff from Jacksonville, and Melody from Florida as well, over in the Panhandle.
And you got Ralph Vaugh from Claremont, Florida, Larry.
Awesome.
Aaron from California.
John and Catherine from Tavares, Florida.
Ashish from Richmond, Virginia.
Just Leo from Texas.
Just got back from South Korea, Larry, from the Olympics opening ceremony.
Oh, good, good. I was thinking about you when I was watching it yesterday.
I was there. I was at the opening ceremony, and I went to the freestyle moguls, freestyle skating, the skiing.
Awesome. That's great. Good for you. That's excellent. All right. So, everybody, thanks a lot for being on the call. I really, really appreciate it. We appreciate your business. If you're brand new, this is the way it works. I typically leave the line open, and feel free to ask any questions. Just be respectful of others. So you don't want to ask 2, 3, 4, 5 questions in a row. Give other people a chance. And then if nobody has a question, feel free to jump back in. And we'll just keep the lines open. And we'll go as long as you guys have questions. Doesn't make any difference to me. So with that said, who would like to jump in and has a question?
Larry, this is Jeff. I got a question real quick.
Hey, Jeff, sure.
I've had 2 bids accepted on HUD using the whole formula with the percentage off thing. One I just closed on today, got my check, which is good. Got about a $16,000 profit on it. It was nice. But
that's
the other
sweet.
One, both,
that's sweet. Be sure and post that on the Facebook group so other people can see too.
Okay. But both of them that have been accepted have had significantly more damage than has been reflected in the PCR, the property condition report. How often does that happen?
I don't know if I could give you a percentage, but I do know that sometimes things change. Maybe sometimes a house is vandalized or maybe something else happens to the house. But typically it's going to be fairly correct. But sometimes you'll run across one that is just way off or something happened to the house or something. So, you know, use it as a general rule, but also verify.
So the thing that happened was Hurricane Irma, and they had done some rehab and done some stuff on it, but the property condition report was pre-Irma. But they didn't reflect anything in any comments anywhere that it had been damaged in Irma. And then the second one, there's some foundation issues that were clearly a big problem that should have been caught in the PCR and weren't. And I'm just wondering if the management company, say the acquisition company, is a little shady. Is that something that runs into it? Do you run into it?
I don't think so, because the asset manager hires a field service rep. And they're the ones that either go out or send somebody else out to actually perform the inspection. And all they know is what they have to go through and check and test. And if the water's not on, they put pressure on it, you know, with a compressor. And if the electrical's not on, they'll take a generator, you know, check outlets and stuff. And they're going to check the roof and the kitchen appliances, kitchen cabinets, and plumbing, wiring, septic, HVAC for the most part. So, you know, it's you can get a good gauge, but I wouldn't count on it 100% of the time. I don't really have a way to give you a percentage of when it's off or a percentage that it would be off. It's just sometimes you're going to run in, just like the one that you said, they did the PCR pre-Irma. Well, there would be no way it would say anything about Irma if it was before it happened. So,
right.
So there's nothing you can really do about that other than realizing, hey, you know, I better check into this a little bit more.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
So, yep, and I guess I'm just going to be much more of an advocate for putting my eyes on it before you accept the bid, before you get to accept the acceptance, you know?
Yeah, and you could do that or send somebody down. Where was the property?
It was about 3 hours away. Both of them were about 3 hours away, outside of Tampa, in between Tampa and Orlando.
Oh, okay.
So I went and checked it out myself.
Okay, good. That's not too bad. Well, you made money, huh?
I did.
That's awesome. Way to go. That's great. That's great. Now you just got to do it again.
There you go.
This is John from Tavares, and this question is for Jeff. What kind of a bid price did you have to do? What percentage of the list did you have to come in order to win that bid?
I used Larry's straight up percentage off that spreadsheet.
Tell us the right numbers. Run through the deal with us.
So I think it was listed about 101. I got it for 47. No, I got it for 50,700. So it was just a little bit over. It was right at 50%. So it must have been 110 or something, or 104 that they were asking. I ended up finding had a couple fix and flippers that were interested in it, but I ended up with a couple that moved into the area, saw it on Craigslist, and I only advertised on Craigslist and bandit signs. And I put it out on just a couple mailing lists that I had as well, and some other people. But the only responses that I got were on Craigslist, and got a buyer at 67. And after closing costs, I took home a check today for $16,006.
Good for you. That's great. And that's
Jeff,
a
congratulations on that, Jeff.
Say again.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So how long did you bid on it? For a few weeks?
I could not tell you that for sure because I just bid them on the cycle. I updated every day. I've been bidding every day.
Right.
I recently just hired my stepson sort of to do that for me at, you know, $10 a day.
Right.
And he'll spend an hour putting those things in, and I'm happy to not have to do it anymore. And I upload them to a Google Docs sheet. I upload the information that I wanted to bid on, and then slowly he's figuring out how to do it. You know, he's doing it, and then we're going to start teaching him how to do the appraisals and start uploading, doing a tighter appraisal on the older bids that are there, and we'll see if we can get some action on those.
Mm-hmm.
Spend a little more attention on some of the other higher value ones, and also the longer ones, the ones that have been on there longer.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's really good. So you can still buy a HUD house at 50%, even in Florida.
Yep. There's some music going on there somewhere. Do you know what that is?
If that's your phone or your music going on, please mute your line. Hit *6. All right.
There we go.
Got it?
Yeah,
I got it.
Good, good, good. So congratulations. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, be sure and post that deal out on the Facebook group for the Inner Circle or the student group. That would be great.
Okay.
with the info. That would encourage a lot of people that are just getting started.
Well, I don't want to encourage too many in Florida. I got enough competition.
Hey, these people in this group are everywhere.
I know.
That's good. All right, cool. Anybody else have a question?
All right.
Anybody else have
no one else has. I got another question if no one else has one.
Sure.
About what you do bids on a whole bunch of range of stuff other than HUD. So about what percentage of your bids that you're bidding on, not that get accepted, the total amount of bidding that you do, how much of that is HUD and how much of that is not?
Well, what we try to do, we try to bid on everything in North Carolina and South Carolina, and we're starting to work Georgia. We don't have the full sheet filled out for Georgia yet. We just don't have the time to put all the bids in Georgia. But all of North Carolina, all or most of South Carolina, We're bidding every day on properties that we want to bid on that are available to investors, and we're getting one or two a week with HUD, okay? And then with MLS stuff, we're bidding on about, if I had to guess, I would say we're bidding probably making 3 to 5 offers a day in North Carolina and about the same in South Carolina, and we're probably getting an average of about one a week in there. And we're just starting to I just lost one of my guys that was bidding, so I'm recruiting more people to work in the office now to get that bidding back up. But that's primarily where our deals are coming from right now, is HUD and the MLS. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does.
Good. Good.
Thank you.
Oh, sure. Anybody else have a question?
Larry,
I got a question.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, if you don't mind. I'm trying to put in an offer on a home that has two liens. I don't want to get the seller excited on an offer. How do I go about that? Or are they just automatically assuming that whatever offer I give, from their profits, those two liens have to be paid off, or am I going to be transferred those liens?
Well, so you're dealing directly with a seller, right?
Correct.
Okay. So in your presentation to your seller, you know, at some point you're going to let them know. Now, you know, once we figure all this out and I make you a cash offer, that'll be a cash offer of the amount net to you minus any mortgages or liens or judgments or taxes. So once you pay all your bills, everything you owe on it, you know, what I offer you minus that will be what you walk away from. Does that
make
sense?
So I just have to make it clear okay.
Yeah. I mean, let's say if you offer somebody $100,000 on their house, mm-hmm. but they have an $80,000 lien, you're not offering them $180,000, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I just wanted to be clear with her because she wants it. She's trying to get me to pay stuff, and I'm like, well, you know, if I'm going to pay for it, I just have to throw it all out there and make sure she understands that my offer is going to be, for example, 70, and then she still has to pay her 45,000 in liens, meaning she's only going to get like the 20 something.
Well, and maybe a way to explain that is the offer I give you is going to be the offer that I can make on the house. It's what I can pay for the house. Now, of course, you know, that would be all your money minus any current liens or judgments or mortgages or taxes that you have.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think really most sellers understand that, but it's not a bad idea to just clarify it.
Yeah, I just want to draw the line and make sure she's aware of it.
Yeah, good. Good. Did that answer your question?
It did. So I just pretty much have to make it known to her and make sure it's clearly stated on the offer to purchase.
You don't even have to state it on the offer to purchase. The cash price is going to be what you're paying for the property. When you go to closing, any liens or judgments or back taxes or mortgages will automatically come out of the seller's net proceeds.
Right. So it's given, but I just, yeah.
I've never listed any liens or judgments or anything in an offer to purchase.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, good. Excellent. Who else has a question?
This is Sarah. Hi, Larry. I have a lot of questions.
How are you?
Hey, very good. Hey, I have a question for your MLS. So what's your strategy? Do you make offers on the one that's been on the market for a while? And then what percentage of offer you make, and usually what's your exit strategy?
My exit strategy right now, unless it is in my IRA or 401k or ESA or HSA, my exit strategy is wholesaling, okay? And we're making an offer. What I look for on the MLS are properties that have had price reductions, that have been on the MLS for 60-plus days, you know, closer to 90 days typically. But I am looking for some price reductions. I like to see if it's been reduced a time or two. And I'm looking for houses that are listed for $100,000 or less. And most of the houses that I'm buying right now, I'm buying for $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, and I'm selling them for $40,000,
$50,000, $60,000. Okay, now, so you mean you buy a house maybe around, like, let's say they list around, like, $50,000, and you will make an offer around $30,000?
Yeah, let's say, like, I'll give you an example. We got one accepted last week. It was listed for 72, and we got it for 39 something, and we're wholesaling it for 49.9. And we got another one that was listed for 56, and I think it was listed for 66. We got it for 42, and we're selling it for 55.
So are you selling to your cash buyers, or are you actually, like, advertising on Craigslist? How do you market those properties since they're already on the MLS?
Well, we market them by putting out bandit signs. We put out about 25 bandit signs. We also put ads on Craigslist. And here's where we're getting a ton of leads right now. We put them on Facebook Market, under real estate or properties. And we're getting, I mean, literally, we're getting hundreds of leads. We put a property on last week, and in 24 hours we had 53 buyer leads.
Wow.
Now, I'll let you guys in on a little secret. We posted two properties the same day last week. One we were wholesaling for 49. The other one we were wholesaling for 69. These houses were literally on the same street. Okay? We bought them both at the same time. They're on the same street. One of them, the 49 house, well, let me start over. The house we were selling for 69, it had 600 views on Facebook.
Wow.
The house for 49.9, it had over 3,000 views on Facebook.
Wow.
So the moral of the story is, the cheaper you can sell a house, the more people see it and are interested in it.
So I have a question. So since the house was already listed on MLS, so what verbiage do you need to put on the contract saying that they allow you to market on Facebook, or, you know, I mean, does the seller have problem when you try to market again, or how about the lease?
Well, if the property's on the MLS, I am marketing to find buyers, and I'm going to make sure it's a very well-qualified buyer before I'm even going to give them the address. Okay? I'm not putting it out there anywhere where a realtor's going to see it or anything. I'm marketing for a property in that area for a cash buyer, and then I'm going to really qualify that cash buyer to make sure that they have money and they're really interested before I'm going to even give them the address. And I'm going to tell them, if you see a realtor sign in the yard, that's because this house is already listed for $72,000, but I'm letting you have it for $49,900. Now, if you call the listing agent, I'm not going to sell this house to you because I haven't closed on it yet, okay? So if you call the listing agent, they're just going to tell you it's listed for $69,900 and it's under contract to sell right now. But if you call them, I will not sell you this house. So don't call them. But you can see on the MLS it's listed for $69,900, but I'm letting you have it for $49,900. Does that make sense?
But does, when you explain that to the buyers, do some of them get confused because it's not closed yet? I'm just wondering if you have spoken to somebody who doesn't know.
Here's what you say. Here's what you say. You say, look, I am, we are, our company are professional negotiators. We get paid for negotiating deep, deep discounts on properties. We make hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of offers on properties, and when we get that one property that they've accepted an offer at a deep discount, then it goes through our rigorous due diligence period, and then and only then, after it passes that, we add a little bit to it and pass it along to someone like you that's willing to fix it up and sell it, fix it up and rent it out, or just wants to put in some sweat equity and get a property well below market. So naturally, I haven't closed on this property yet. I am going to be closing on it right before I sell it to you. So if you call the agent, you know, if you call the agent, they're just going to tell you it's listed for $69,000, but I've already negotiated a deep, deep discount, which is below $49,000, and I'm selling it to you at $49,000. And you don't mind me making a little bit of money if I could save you $20,000, do you?
Okay, so you should, are you looking for a cash buyer? Because it will take a long time for them to get a cash buyer.
Yes.
Okay.
We only want cash buyers, especially at that price. Cash buyers or hard money or private money people.
Do you actually...
Only cash buyers.
Do you actually sometimes provide them hard money just in case they don't know, if they don't have a source?
I don't want to, but we're going to start offering hard money to our buyers of our cheaper houses like this. But typically, we're only looking for cash buyers.
Okay. Yeah. So, Larry, can you actually share a little bit about, like, for the Facebook ad, what's the target audience? Like, and how much
all we really do is post the property on Facebook, on our Facebook, on Facebook Market, and we just put a picture of it and put something like 3-bedroom, 2-bath, brick ranch house, deep discount, $49,900 cash, won't last long, fix and flip or rent out, or. Or deep discount, you know, just something like that, right? So, we get a ton of leads from Facebook. Now, some of the leads, they want to know, you know, will you sell or finance it? Will you do rent to own? You know, but most of them are like, is this house still available? What can you tell me about it? Blah, blah, blah. And then Dan reaches out to them, my sales guy. And he qualifies them to find out if they have cash, and then and only then he'll give them the address. Okay?
Got it. Okay. So you're actually not paying for Facebook advertising. Are you just actually just...
No. It's free. It's Facebook Marketplace where you can post furniture, cars, houses, anything.
Oh, I didn't even know about Facebook Marketplace.
On your phone app, it's the... Uh-huh. It's the very middle one in the bottom. On your phone app, it's the icon at the very bottom on Facebook in the middle. Facebook Market.
Wow. Okay, I'll go find out about the Facebook Market. Wow, I didn't even know about that.
Good. Does that help?
Oh, yeah, that helps a lot. I can't believe that's free.
There you go. That's
wow. Sorry, I've got a couple more questions about the HUD. So right now, I think HUD is getting more competitive, and you say you're getting about 1 to 2 deals a week. So what percentage of the ARV are you making offer on those that actually got accepted?
Well, it really varies. It could be anywhere from, it's typically around 40 to 60% right now of the ones that we're buying. But think about it. If a house is listed for $50,000 and I'm getting it for $25,000 or $30,000, I could wholesale it for $39,900 and it's still below list price.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily a specific percentage. We're just taking ARV times 0.7 minus repairs minus what we want to make, and that's our bid amount.
Got
so
it.
It's not a specific bid amount. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so your math is at 60%. But at 60%, is that kind of hard to wholesale if you buy at 60%?
No. You're talking about of list price. I'm taking ARV times 0.7 minus repairs minus what I want to make equals my bid amount.
So that's almost like 50%.
Yeah, don't think about a percentage of the list price. Think about ARV times 0.7 minus repairs minus closing cost, if you want to, and then minus what you want to make, and that's your bid amount. It's that simple.
Okay, got it. And for the houses around $50,000, typically what is your assignment fee?
I try to get a minimum of $10,000, but my goal is to shoot for
$15,000. Oh, wow.
I could buy a lot more houses if I was okay with $5,000. But I'm buying fewer houses, but we're making $10,000 or $15,000. In fact, I've got two deals on the board right now that one we're making $16,000 and another one we're making over $17,000 and the rest are around $10,000 to $12,000.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
Well, and that's all from houses like under $100,000?
Yeah, some of them are over $100,000, but most of them are under $50,000. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Good.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Anybody else have a question?
Can I jump in?
Sure.
How do you approach a small house with about, say, 2 acres of land? As far as value goes, it's kind of a rural area, very hard to get comps. But I know they're trying to get around $70,000, and they owe about $13,500 in taxes, and it needs about $10,000 in repair. My difficulty here is trying to give them enough value for the 2 acres, but it's such a small house. It's just a two-bedroom house.
Well, forget the 2 acres. The 2 acres means nothing, okay?
Really?
The 2 acres is a bonus. It's still a lot, okay? I mean, how are you going to sell the 2 acres in addition to the house? You can't. It's a house on a lot. It just so happens the lot is 2 acres, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I've bought many houses with anywhere from a quarter of an acre up to 5 or 10 acres, and I'm just paying for the house, okay? Especially when you're more out in a rural area, that's normal. You know, in fact, if it were me and I was talking to them and they said, and I got 2 acres of land, you're like, oh, you don't have at least 5? Right? So, anyway, you're going to need to pull some comps or call a couple realtors and find out what the value is. So pull up some sold comps on Zillow. You could also call a couple of realtors. You could also look on RealQuest Express. It's free, and see what the value is. But then just take ARV times 0.7 minus repairs minus what you want to make, and boom, there's your number. And when you're dealing with a seller, when you're dealing with an individual seller, make sure that you start a little bit less than what your maximum offer is. Otherwise, you don't have anywhere to go.
Sure, absolutely.
Right? Good. Does that help?
Absolutely, thank you.
Excellent, no problem. My pleasure. Anybody else have a question?
Larry, I have a question for the MLS. Do you use some kind of like automatic,
No.
Okay.
No, we don't. We're looking at a couple of things, but right now we just put in the offers whenever we our whole MO is you look it up, you call the agent, you get the comp, you get the ARV, you get an idea about the repairs, and when you get a number, we're going to send an offer right to the listing agent, right? And I try to get my guys to do, my goal is to get them to do 5 to 10 a day, but in reality, they're probably doing 3 to 5, sometimes a little more than 5, but probably on average 3 to 5 a day.
Okay. Yeah. So just email the letter of intent or
No. Residential agents don't care anything about an LOI.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you just put in a regular, you know, offer to purchase. Okay. I'm working on an app to go into Podio where you can enter in the information and then Podio will send the offer to purchase. The problem is most everybody who has an offer to purchase app in Podio, it's like a one-page contract. And it's a one-page contract, and that doesn't, you know, realtors don't even want that. So having said that, we are working on a regular offer to purchase from, you know, the MLS offer to purchase to get it into Podio. And it's very difficult to do because there's so many fields, but we've found a way to make it work, so we are in the process of getting that set up. And when we do, I'll let you know.
So I have a question. So when you submit the offers, I want to know about the terms. So do you actually put financing or you put cash?
No. It's a cash offer, a 15-day inspection, 30-day close, and that's it.
Oh, and what happens if you don't get a buyer to close within 30 days?
Well,
what
happens if I don't get a buyer to close within 15 days?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to extend the due diligence period. And then if I don't get a buyer, then we're going to determine, have we had good interest in this property? Do we feel like we're going to sell it? If so, we're going to go ahead and close on it. If not, if we're not getting much activity or everybody looks at it says it's a horrible neighborhood or it needs way too much work or it's not a deal, then we'll cancel the contract.
Got it. So let's say if you find a cash buyer and you verify that person has fun and everything, do you actually ask that person to go check out the house themselves? Or?
Oh, yeah. We encourage them to go look at it. They're not going to buy it if they don't see it.
Yeah, but then usually how do they go in? Do you actually ask the realtor to let them in?
We could have a local agent show it to them. We can have a local agent show it to them, absolutely.
And then how do you compensate that agent? How do you make them go in?
You can either pay them like $25 to unlock the door and stand there, or you could pay them, say, $500 when the deal closes if they'll show it every time you have somebody wants to look at it.
Okay, got it. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, it would be great to have somebody just go show and just pay them when it closes.
Yeah, like a local licensed person that's your boots on the ground.
Yeah, that will work.
Yeah, exactly. Good. Anybody else have a question?
Yeah, Larry. Yeah. How do you feel about VAs, if you feel confident making offers for you?
A VA making offers for me?
Yes.
It depends on who the VA is making offers through.
To the MLS or the realtors.
Well, if they're making offers on the MLS, I don't know. I would have to it would need to be somebody that's good on the phone, knows how to analyze deals. So I would just want to make sure that they are good on the phone, they have good use of the English language, they're fluent, and they know how to analyze deals, and they can put in offers. And if they meet all that, then yes, I would do that.
Okay, great.
Awesome. Good. Anybody else have a question?
Yes, Sarah, I've got one more question. For the advertising Facebook, when you advertise in the Facebook, Facebook Marketplace, you actually not show the exterior of the house because the realtor might know. Do you just use the interior photos?
No, we use an exterior picture, but we take our own from a different angle.
Oh, got it. Okay.
We don't dare use the realtor's pictures for anything.
Okay. How about the, usually how many pictures do you show, like, in Facebook?
I don't know. I think it might be one or it might be two or three. I'm not sure. It's not very many.
Oh. So then do you have another realtor go there to take a picture for you?
No. I usually, unless it's too far away, my sales guy goes out to every one of them and takes the pictures. But if it's too far away, we'll have somebody local go do it. It could be a contractor. It could be another agent. It could be somebody from a temp agency. It could be somebody from WeGoLook.com or BPOPhotoFlow.com. Any one of those people could go out and take pictures for you.
Got it.
Hey, quick question on that. Is it okay to use the MLS question, MLS pictures?
No, don't use the MLS. I would not use the MLS pictures because you don't want the agent to happen to see your ad of you trying to sell their listing that you don't own yet.
Yeah.
So take your own picture from a different angle so it may or may not be look like the same house.
Mm-hmm.
Make sense?
Yeah, makes sense.
Good.
Yep.
Cool.
But now, Larry, now if you have a different agent show it for you and you want to offer them $25 per showing, won't they want you to list it with them for a realtor's fee?
Well, they might, but then they're not the right person.
I see.
Yeah, but if you're selling it to a fix and flip investor, you can tell them, look, whoever I sell this house to, I'll recommend that they list it with you to retail it once they get it fixed up.
I see. Because then if it hasn't closed yet and there is another realtor that's selling it to you, it would have to be someone from a different agency, and they just they might butt into your business and want to know if you own it.
No, it doesn't matter. You could get whoever you wanted to do that.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Anybody else have a question?
Okay, I have a question. Go ahead.
I was going to say you go first. Hey, real quick question. You said your guys are making three offers a day, 3 to 4 offers a day, realistically.
Right.
Each one is 3 for 5. What's taking them so long? I mean, how are they calculating ARV?
They're pulling comps. They're pulling comps on Zillow. They're pulling comps on RealQuest. They're driving the street online. They're looking at all the pictures, right? And then they're calling the agent. They don't make an offer until they get the agent on the phone.
Oh, okay.
Right.
So they make sure they get the agent on the phone and are able to ask them questions. You know, what's the amount of repairs? What's the after-repaired value? Is this a better rental property or fix and flip? How's the neighborhood? How's the market there? You know, what kind of condition? You know, all that stuff. And so it takes a while to get the agents on the phone. So, and plus, at this point, they've got counters they're following up with. They've got, you know, people calling them back about different deals that they're working. They're negotiating back and forth. So now some days they can put in, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 offers, right? But some days they might only get 3 or 4 offers in, just depending on what they're doing for the day.
if that makes sense.
I wasn't trying to slam them. I was just, what kind of vetting process you go through with them.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Anybody else?
Oh, yeah, I have a question. Like you said, on Facebook, you get a lot of leads. So what system do you use to follow up with all the one that is a qualified cash buyers?
We follow up through Facebook until we determine that they're a qualified lead, and then we put them in Podio.
Oh, okay.
There's no reason in the world to put them in Podio if they're not a qualified lead.
So my question is, so is there a script you use to qualify them?
Well, I kind of went through it a minute ago. You know, we have deep discounted properties, and we are professional negotiators, and we make hundreds and hundreds of offers. When we get that one good deal at a deep, deep discount, it goes through our rigorous due diligence process, and then we pass it along to somebody like you. So naturally, our deals go very, very fast. Are you a cash buyer, or do you need financing? Because these deals won't be around long enough for you to get a loan.
Okay.
Yeah. That's kind of how we do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pretty short and sweet. Gets to the point.
Yeah. Yes. So once you put them in Podio, how do you touch base with them on a regular basis?
Well, it depends on where they're looking for a property at. But I'm telling you, we've got a buyer's list, but most of the properties sell from the bandit signs or the Facebook ads. But we do put them in Podio, and every time we get a property, we email it out to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's the way it works.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else have a question? You guys have had some good questions tonight.
Mm-hmm. So, Larry, my question is, are you still doing those filthy rich model, like buying something really cheap and do seller financing?
Yep, except for if I do that model, it's in a retirement account.
Oh, I see.
I'm wholesaling outside the retirement account and doing that inside the retirement account.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. Anybody else have a question?
I got one quick question.
Sure.
Your HSA, does that cover your whole family, or do you have to have one HSA for each individual?
Well, you can, whenever you set up your HSA, you can set it up as a individual plan or as a family plan, either one.
Okay.
Yeah. You can set it up either way. It's entirely up to you.
Sounds good.
You just have to have what's called an HDHP health care plan or insurance policy. That's high deductible health plan. You have to have one of those.
Right.
Yeah. Good. Anybody else have a question?
Hey, Larry.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Ralph Bach, I'm a recent Inner Circle member. I did submit. I need some help with the that HUD spreadsheet, to start bidding.
Uh-huh.
I submitted a ticket, but I never got a response. Who should I follow up with that, with the ticket? I mean, I tried twice.
If you will, send an email to customer service at LarryGoins.com and tell him what happened, and he'll be right on it.
I just did that as we were going, so thank you. I wanted to make sure I took the right approach. Thank you.
Yeah. And that's perfect because I know he's giving people support because I paid him $550 this week for support.
Okay, I'll follow up for you.
Yeah. Good, good, good.
All righty.
All right, thanks. Anybody else have a question?
Yes, I have a question. So you say you make offers on all the homes on HUD, but, you know, sometimes I check the list. Some of the properties, like, in the middle of nowhere. I mean, do you make offers on those also?
Yes and no. As long as I feel like we can sell the property and it's not too much repairs or whatever, I'm okay with it being in the middle of nowhere, because usually there's a small town, you know, to east or west or north or south, and we can advertise it there as well and sell it, and people in small towns are used to commuting to, you know, the next town over or whatever. It's not a big deal. So I don't necessarily make an offer on every single HUD house that there is in the Carolinas, but every one of them that we want to bid on, those are the ones that we do make offers on every day. And unless we have eliminated it for one reason or another, maybe it needs too much work, or maybe it's too high priced or something. But if we're going to bid on it, we bid on it every day.
But will you make offers on houses that have plumbing, electrical problem?
It depends on the deal. It depends on what the problems are. You know, we have a house right now that has some electrical issues in one of the bedrooms, but that's not a big deal. That's just a little electrical problem in one of the bedrooms. But if the electrical has been stolen, if the copper's been stolen, or if the copper plumbing has been stolen, no, I'm not even going to bid on it. We're going to eliminate it, not bid on it at all.
My question is, how do you know if, I mean, the condition of the property before you won the bid?
Well, if it's a HUD house, we look at the PCR. And as we described earlier, the PCR is not always 100% accurate, but it's pretty close for us to base our bid on. And then we can determine whether or not we're going to close on it once we get a bid accepted.
Yeah, my question is, sometimes they have, like, electrical is not functional, but there's no way to tell if the electrical copper got stolen or...
Then you have to... In your bid amount, you have to figure worst-case scenario and bid accordingly.
So typically, if there's some electrical problem, how much do you take off? Do you count that?
You could take off, you know, maybe $1,000 or $1,500 or something, but just bid way low accordingly. So if you end up having to do a lot of electrical work, or there ends up needing a lot of electrical work, at least your numbers still work.
Okay.
Hey, Larry, can I jump in on that one a little bit?
Sure, absolutely.
I've had pretty good success with what they call homeadvisor.com, finding local contractors for an area, for an address. They're kind of a pain in the, it's kind of a pain to actually go through everything on the startup process for that. But when you end up doing it, you get a list of contractors in that area, both general and electrical and whatever. And you can call them up and go, hey, I've got this house, or can you go put eyes on this house and give me a bid on this? And I've had pretty good success with them having about a 24-hour turnaround time in from the time
good.
I put stuff to the time I have somebody out there going out there and looking at a place. And you have 48 hours from the bid acceptance. So my suggestion to you is don't worry about the damage. Once you get the bid accepted, you bid on everything. You use the spreadsheet. It's pretty straightforward. And bid on everything. And once you do that, once you get a bid accepted, then spend the time trying to qualify it, whether or not it's a bit better or different.
Yeah, actually, my question is, how are you able to get somebody to get into the property for the contractor?
You have a listing agent, right? You have a selling agent. And there's a listing agent. And your selling agent, you have to call the listing agent and get the lockbox number, basically, and then cut you loose to do that. Now, you got to be careful because some of them are pretty touchy about doing that, and they want to make sure that they have if they're not willing to go out there themselves to go do it, because the last one I just did, they were 45 minutes away. They said, I'm going to drop the hat, come open it up for a contractor.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to want you to have somebody there to do that, or you need to have a reasonable amount of assurance that when the contractor's out there, that no one else is going to be out there. So, but you know, somehow that arrangement that can be made, that's like what Larry was talking about, if you can have a local real estate agent out there, it's generally not that difficult to find a local agent for that kind of an area. Just type in real estate agents in that town and find somebody who's not doing something and say, hey, I need a real estate agent to come do this. Can you look up this property, you know, contact the listing agent, do that, and then open it up for the door on this guy and just stand there and let him do his work. And you can get a general contractor to go in and get a pretty quick estimate of what needs doing. If it's just a, you know, tell them you're a fix and flipper, because that's who you're going to market it to. So mm-hmm. If you tell them you're a fix and flipper, that'll give them an idea of, A, you're a savvy enough investor to be able to do that, and you can just go for it. They'll give you a quote that they would give a fix and flipper, which is what you're going to give to the fix and flipper to say, and you can arrange, you know, plus or minus $5,000 or $10,000, and go high, bid high, and use Larry's formula of the 70% of the after repair value minus the repairs, and go high on the repairs minus your profit. That's your bid. That's your maximum acceptable offer, MAO, as some people call it.
And you said you find those contractors from Home Advisors.
If you don't have anybody there, that's a great resource, and you can just call them up, some general contractors. Hey, do you work for fix and flippers? Hey, do you do, you know, I'm a professional. I need to do this. I'm not a homeowner. And they'll adjust their pricing accordingly, believe it or not. If you tell them you're out of state and rich Israeli, then they're going to jack it up. So, you know, you just got to feel that out a little bit. Get a couple, three of them to go look at it if you have the time. But in a quick 24 hours, you're looking to go, oh my God, there's going to be nothing to this. I can do this in, you know, I can do this in 2 weeks. Then you're fat, dumb, and happy, right? And they'll give you a price and go for it. And that's what you want to decide whether or not the bid that you got accepted at HUD is sufficient or not. So if you just bid on all of those every day at Larry's formula, and then narrow down your concerns about the ones that get accepted, it takes a lot of the stress out of the front end. Now, you aren't going to get as many bids accepted because Larry puts the stress in and assessing those at the front end a little bit more than I do. But I'm going to be a little bit choosier about all the ones in Florida that I'm looking at, because if I'm only doing five or six a day to try and get a better ARV on it, then I'm going to pick the older ones. But that's where actually I need to jack up my machine to start doing that, is to do a little bit better assessment, to go higher than Larry's, you know, formula of 50% for anything over 100,000, and 40%, 30%, all that happiness. That's just what that spreadsheet does. And then you can twist the spreadsheet based on the age and the diligence you do. But if I'm putting in 50 offers a day, then I don't have time to do that for all 50 of them. So I'm going to pick and choose the ones that I want to look at on doing that, and just let the other ones flow and not worry about it. Just let the spreadsheet do its stuff. Does that make any sense?
And it
makes sense. Yeah, but I'm just saying, I just want to know, like, if I'm able to get somebody there, like, in 24 hours, though.
HomeAdvisor.com. And if not, you know, you lose a bit. Okay. And you are aware. You are no worse than you were before.
Yeah.
I just let one expire anyway recently because it was too much damage. I went down a little bit myself. But I called up a contractor on my way down that morning, and he was able to come while I was there.
Okay.
So this is Ashish. I had a question. You guys who are bidding on HUD properties, are you all using an agent to enter your bid, or how are you all doing it?
You have to have an agent to put in a bid. You have to have one, because only agents with an NAID number can bid. Or if you have a nonprofit or a government agency, but it has to be someone with an NAID number.
Okay.
Yeah, that's one of the requirements to put in a HUD bid.
I have someone who was selling a property of mine that I have officially become her assistant. I pay $35 a quarter, and it gets me access to the MLS, and it allows me to be her assistant, and that gave her a level of comfort with me entering the HUD bids myself.
Oh, that's nice.
But because I have that official relationship with her, and it costs me $120 a year, which is well worth it, you know, $140 a year, It's well worth it.
Okay.
So
thank
that,
you.
That's a possibility too. So you can become someone's official assistant, and I don't know if that's a state thing or a North Florida, Northeast Florida thing, but I pay a fee for doing that.
Oh,
right.
And
you afford?
When I'm calling the other agents and go, hey, I'm Susan Grudzik's assistant, I'm Yeti Yeti's assistant. Can you tell me about this place? I've got a buyer who's interested. I just don't tell them that I'm the buyer.
That's exactly what we do, too. That's exactly what we do. They call and say, I'm an assistant for an agent, so-and-so, and we have a buyer that wants to put in an offer. Yeah, good. Any more questions? Any more questions? Guys, you guys have had a lot of questions tonight. This has been a long call. That's good. Any more questions before we go?
Larry, who are you telling that you're an assistant to the realtor? You're telling the realtor that has the on the MLS?
The listing agent.
The listing agent, that you're another realtor, yeah. And you have a property, and that's how you get information on the property? Or?
Right. Well, you don't have to do that, but mm-hmm. a lot of times you get better information when you're calling as an agent.
Yes.
Or with an agent.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Actually, some of the listing agents won't even talk to you. They want to talk to your realtor, which just adds a level of frustration in dealing with this whole realtor process. And I'm pretty anti-realtor as of lately because they are creating obstacles so that they can help you to overcome the obstacles that they created.
Yeah, it's kind of like the attorney to attorney conversation, right? It helps out. They're dealing professional to a professional. Yeah. Anybody else have any more questions?
I just have one more question for the MLS. Let's say if you don't have a license, like in a different state, you can just make offer directly with the listing agent. You don't really need to submit, write your own contract, right? You can just tell the listing agent.
That is true, as long as the listing agent will work with you. Some listing agents say they only deal with sellers. You have to find your own buyer's agent.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Cool. Anybody else have a question? Well, guys, I really appreciate you being on. It's a great call tonight. You guys had a lot of good questions. Just remember, if you have any questions in between times, you don't have to wait for these biweekly Q&A calls. You can always email me anytime, larry@larrygoins.com. Be sure and put Inner Circle in the subject line, and I'll be glad to answer your questions anytime, or call me if you need to. It's probably best to shoot me an email and say we need to talk on the phone. That's probably the best way because I hardly ever answer my phone. But you guys all know how to reach me by phone if you need me. So with that, thank you so much, guys, for being on. I really appreciate it. And if I don't hear from you, I'll be talking to you in 2 weeks. So thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night.
Hey, thank you.
Good night, Larry.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.